Excellent. Weather today, highs of 18 degrees centigrade, lows of 15 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a dry morning with bright spells, but there will be heavy rain in the afternoon.
Prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
And the reason we obviously had to play that book is quite simply, since we last spoke, we've had a change of Prime Minister in Britain. And as we understand it, we still actually have, obviously, President Obama in the States. But, you know, he'll be going, inevitably, to be replaced by, well, who knows. But, you know, extraordinary times.
Absolutely. People are asking me about all these political matters, and I'd prefer to just play a game of Scrabble myself.
You know, and wouldn't the world be a much better place if we could actually get the world leaders to settle down and simply play a game of Scrabble? You know, that's the key thing. In fact, we could start the campaign now. We'll sort of energy Scrabble for Success. We can actually call it from that point of view. S for SFS, you know. Scrabble for Souls, if you want to actually go for the kind of religious iconographic market from that perspective. Yes, so let's just play Scrabble. Don't go for double words. Just relax. Play Scrabble. So much. I mean, because Ben, have you ever been to Hawaii as yet?
I haven't, no. Although my parents did get married there.
Whereabouts?
I believe on... whether it's Honolulu, I'm not too sure. But they got married on a beach.
Ah. And that doesn't narrow it down as much.
I know, it was a long time ago. they did get married there because of feuds within the family. As in, my parents are from two different parts of the country.
Oh.
Well, not even this country.
My word.
Dad's Welsh and my mum's English, so
it's like the Romeo, the Capulets and Montagues. You
indeed.
Know? One's Welsh, one's English. It's amazing.
Yeah. They did get married there, though. They, you know,
on the beach.
Yeah.
Is that a popular thing, Buck? Do you get a lot of people going along and saying?
It's very popular here. It's very popular with the Japanese too. They come and people love to be married on the beach barefoot, and it's also a very big honeymoon destination as well. But people love to come and get married here. Absolutely, yeah. We were the first state in all of the U.S. to try to get gay marriage to happen here, and we were shot down. And it was only just recently that actually happened, but we were the first state to try to rally for that, and people just assumed it took place.
Yeah, but clearly, you should have actually added you could play Scrabble after the service as well. That would have been the winner. That would have been a clincher. Those people in Washington would not have had a leg to stand on. They say, oh, well, it's okay. We can play Scrabble. We're sorted. See what I mean? In terms of weather reports, we see that Pelé, not to be confused, of course, Ben, with the former Brazilian footballer, but the mountain in Hawaii, has shifted gears here again, and lava is now moving quickly down the hill on its way to the ocean. Any further updates with respect to Pelé, Buck?
Yes, as of 1:15 a.m. last night, Pelé did reach the ocean, and people are going out in droves to see the lava, and it's quite spectacular now because it's so accessible. You know, the authorities are stopping you at some point, and so there's people out there renting bicycles and. You can take a two-hour walk in or hop on a bicycle that you rented for $10 an hour and ride a bike in for 25 minutes. And, you know, once again, it's just like it's such a big draw for people or anybody really that visiting and people that live here because it's just such a humbling experience to see the earth being created right before your eyes. It's one of those things where you get there and it takes you a moment. It takes a few minutes for you to kind of process what you're seeing. It's like, wow, that is earth moving and being created in front of me. And so it's really a very, very humbling experience. And all my guests that are staying with me here at Sunrise Cottages, I encourage them to go out there and have a look, especially now because it's been a couple years since it's been accessible like this. And so it's really a fantastic thing for people to see. Absolutely. It's just mind-boggling. Yeah,
you see, back here in Lincoln, we get concerned over a few weeds in the Brayford Pool, you know, so how we actually cope with earth moving, Lord knows. But, Ben, any thoughts for yourself?
I think I've always wanted myself to watch a volcano of some description.
How close to the edge do you want to be, really?
As close as possible without dying, hopefully. But
whilst you're on that thought, if you'd be kind enough, Ben, to open the door and ensure that our Chief Executive Officer of Lincoln Agricultural Society, Jane Southall, will be able to enter the studio, I will actually sort of just... It's all very exciting, because just to set the scene here, Buck, we have a kind of... it's not quite a goldfish approach, but the studio has got, obviously, soundproofed glass windows and glass screens. Be able to see this actually on some of our Facebook updates, but that sort of connects, which means that people can actually look in and we can see them obviously from outside. But if the connecting door is actually closed, then short of actually using some sort of explosive to actually, you know, blow the doors open, they're not going to get in. Anyway, good morning, Jane Southall. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, tightened security, I've noticed.
Well, absolutely. Sometimes you don't know what could happen in the world.
You just don't
know. Exactly. It's nice to know, Jane, that as Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agriculture Society, you were not planning to do that water speed record attempt in Lincoln today, which Guy Mortin was, but as we can actually see there...
It's been cancelled because of the weeds in the water. It's dreadful.
Thankfully, Lincolnshire Agricultural Society accepts and rightly takes no responsibility for the weeds in the Brayford Pool.
No, that's one thing we can say, it's not down to us.
Exactly. Just wanted to clarify that, Buck. It's always important for that.
So you've been having quite a lot of rain there, I take it.
Well, we did have, not recently, but I mean, obviously, he's been practising to do this record attempt, but obviously, and then he did a final one actually in the water yesterday and obviously realised there's that much weed in there that it would hamper what he was trying to achieve, so...
Yeah. It's all to do with speed, you see, whereas if he just sort of set out to do a world record Scrabble attempt, a lot safer and probably a lot happier, leading to world peace.
Anyway,
that's just by the by. Welcome, Jane.
Hello.
First question, have you been to Hawaii?
No.
Well, there we are. Clearly, have you considered, is it on your list of things to possibly do to sort of, you know...
It wasn't, but you never know.
Yeah, because Buck, with his ownership of Sunrise Cottage, even looks wonderful from that point of view. It's just wonderful. And, of course, in Hawaii, it's just coming round to 9:10 yesterday.
You know,
Wednesday.
So I'd be early? I'm early for
exactly.
My early for you.
Very early for you. But I know, Buck, you're also keen on... sausage rolls. Now, in Lincolnshire, of course, we have the famous, world famous, it has to be said, Jane, Lincolnshire sausage.
We do.
Which I don't think Buck will have ever sort of tasted at all.
Really. No.
He might have. But...
You've got to be kidding me. I make sausage rolls as often as possible, and I make them with local pig that my friend has caught and butchered here, and they're quite delicious. But I don't make them like my mom used to. She made them quite plain. I like to add some really spicy pepper and garlic, and I love sausage rolls. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
So, Alex, is that why you were asking me if I'd been to Hawaii? Because we need to take some Lincolnshire sausage. Was that the question?
We just work so effortlessly together, you know. Other stations might have to shoehorn in the product placement. From our point of view, it's just effortless. Spit in there. Clearly a way forward. I mean, I take it, but you've never availed yourself of the fantastic taste of the Lincolnshire sausage before.
I don't think I've had that, now.
I feel like you might have a very good experience at the Sausage Festival in Lincoln.
This is it. Yes, we do have an annual sausage festival. I know, it could go so wrong if you weren't very careful about how you actually deliver that, but yes. When is it?
October, end of October.
Does Lincolnshire Agricultural Society get involved with the Sausage Festival, Jane, or is that...
We have been in the past, yeah, we have had a presence there, but obviously we've got the... If you can't get the sausage festival, we've already got the food and gift event in November, where we will have Lincolnshire sausages as well on some of the stands. So.
Which is what we'll be continuing to actually develop and work through from that basis.
Yes.
Interesting enough, in terms of the listenership, I gather Sarah Bullimore is having a breakfast with a lovely Amelia.
Today. Oh, right, yeah, okay.
I spread that word from that point. Thank you. Really shameless, so it's nice to say that there, because I think she's returning, is she not?
22nd of August.
Oh.
It's internal politics, a bit like a local radio station. It's all awesome. Jane, have you got any questions you want to put to Buck about his life and times in Hawaii and why, in essence, you know, we do the Hawaii 8? Just anything you'd like to ever ask about Hawaii? I mean, my first question was, you know, are Hawaii 5-0 a real police operation and is McGarrett a regular sort of the islands?
He's probably a bit old for that now, don't you think?
PI. Depends which series you go for. Alex O'Loughlin is still pretty sort of, and of course Jack Lord is now dead, so.
Oh right, he wouldn't be in it. No, he wouldn't be. So, what's the temperature in Hawaii then? Am I allowed to ask?
Well, you know, I didn't do the conversion, but it's 75 degrees right now here in Hawaii. I'd have to look at my phone to see what that translates to.
Yeah, about 20-25, I think that sort of starting. So it's 9 o'clock in the evening, so.
75 degrees after 9 o'clock at night. Not bad. Pretty good.
And of course, we have the frogs in the background as well. We can't hear them today, though, Buck. I mean, those sort of croaking frogs that are actually there. Sounding. I'm sure we'll get there in the end. It's been fabulous as ever, touching base with your good self, Buck. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Of course, as always. Always a pleasure.
And, Jane, what's the other question we usually put at our, put to our...
will you be joining us again soon?
I hope so.
Well, I think so. I think as Ellie Semple, the university's head of events, will probably be in the studio next week. We might actually look to sort of coordinate and learn. So, very good. Ben, of course, you'll be back in... No, you'll be in Brighton, London.
Brighton and London.
Brighton and London, simultaneously, at the same time. If you are attempting any land speed records, this one's for you. Aloha, Buck.
Aloha, we ho.
It would probably make you go faster than the speed of light if you heard Bonnie Tyler screaming at that sort of pitch at you. It's like a banshee, or a Welsh banshee, she is. Jim Steinman produced, of course, and a fine tune, as I'm sure we will all attest to. Isn't that right, film critic extraordinaire Richard Fitzwilliams?
Oh, it is. It's a marvellous tune. I like it enormously.
Exactly. Jane Southall, of course, one of the first questions you said this morning was, is Richard Fitzwilliams on? And yes, of course, she is, Jane.
Good morning.
Yeah. Oh, good morning.
A Thursday show without Richard Fitzwilliams is a bit like a Lincolnshire Agriculture Society without your good self, Jane South.
Right.
It's inconceivable, quite frankly. Inconceivable on that basis. Just a little look back to this year's Lincolnshire show, of course. A great success all round.
It was great. And the weather was kind to us, which is a good thing, really.
Last night, Phil Leonis, via either Skype or indeed the standard landline, uttered five significant words, which I'm sure Phil meant to actually be passed over and transposed to Richard Fitzwilliams. He may or may not agree with them. Richard, are you ready for those five words that Phil Leonis uttered last night?
Well, yes, indeed, and I hope he's ready for what I have to say in return.
Oh, okay. His words were, Kate McKinnon cannot act. Kate McKinnon cannot act.
He is actually very wrong. I thought she was fantastic. And I do have to say this, not speaking as an admirer of, I'm afraid, the new Ghostbusters, but nonetheless, it has to be said that I wasn't previously, he was more familiar, I'm sure, with Kate McKinnon's work than I was, but the facts are that if you see a new face, and she was new to me, then I actually looked her up and started wondering when I'd see her again. So I'm afraid on that he is wrong.
And that's what we like. Bit of conflict, good for drama. You know, you get the balance between Los Angeles and London. You know, it's a whole range of things.
Yes, the thing with Ghostbusters is that, they're talking about a balance. I mean, directed by Ivan Reitman in 1984. I mean, there was a novelty, there was a charm, there was Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver, and there was a certain amount of slapstick. I won't say it was the ideal movie for me. This, of course, is an excellent idea to have an all-women team who were searching for ghosts in various parts of the Big Apple, but it's the problem of overkill. So that's another sentence.
But they're ghosts, Richard. Obviously they're going to be dead, otherwise it wouldn't work. Sorry, overkill.
Well, yes. The thing is, how are they found? How are they dealt with? And what about the script? Also, as I say, overkill is... means overdoing it, and when you've got a cast like this, you expect something really good, because Paul Feig directs, and of course he did Heat and Bridesmaids, and I loved Heat. Heat was one of the hits of the year for me, and Bridesmaids, of course, terrific success. And you've got three female doctors, Kristen Wiig, Dr. Erin Gilbert, Melissa McCarthy as Dr. Abby Yates, and joining them, the creator, Gillian Holtzman, played by Kate McKinnon, and she's a doctor too. And making up the team work on the Big Apple transport system, Patty Tolan, played by the feisty Leslie Jones. So plenty to like or love there, no question about that. And I did enjoy quite a lot of it, and there's no doubt about it. A lot of people had a lot of fun with it, which is the main thing. I would add Chris Hemsworth is trying to, well, not really trying to act in this.
I know you're not a Chris Hemsworth fan. You've already gone public on that. I still say, he is Thor. You know, you can't sort of alienate Thor the Thunder God. He's Chris Hemsworth.
He's also the dumb receptionist. When the various doctors set up a business having been banished from academia. I mean, obviously a reboot of the original. The point is, does it or does it not work for you? Well, I mean, if you like the subject, if you like the original, or indeed if you happen to think that this is going to be entertaining, I mean, by all means, I would suggest go and see it, because you'll get a lot of laughs out of it anyway. It is, by the way, sometime, one of the scenes is set in a live music venue. It's sometime since I was at a Black Sabbath concert, but I was indeed met Ozzy Osbourne, and that brought back memories, because there's a ghost in the concert, and seeing that,
When you met Ozzy, did you actually have any chickens to bite heads off all things, or was that just a, you know...
He was very polite. You introduced me, and I enjoyed the concert very much.
He's not Elton John, though, is he, Jane?
He isn't.
Sir Elton John, obviously.
No, he isn't. I mean, the point of this movie, homage in all the right places and all the rest of it, Bill Murray, on far too briefly, as another doctor, but one who doesn't believe in ghosts and receives pretty short
A trips. Nod to the fans, I suspect, putting Bill Murray in there. A nod to the aficionados.
Oh, no, no, if you're an aficionado, I mean, go and have fun, because you will have fun. I mean, the movie is... there's a lot of fun in it, but I do have to hint that climactically it's unrestrained.
Does it sort of not get to the sort of stage of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man? I, of course, was around when the original Ghostbusters launched. I actually saw it in Cambridge back in 1984. Jane, I think you might have just been around as well. Did you see the original Ghostbusters movie?
Probably.
I mean, the problem...
No, you weren't here.
No, I wasn't here.
And Lewis, no. But it does seem to have surprised a few people, insofar as I think a lot of people were expecting it to be a lot worse than it actually manifested as being. However, Ben...
I wouldn't, because of the potential, but if ghosts can bring the apocalypse, and then you've got the climactic again, homages all over the place, but that is when I got very, very, very impatient with this movie.
Is there any sign of
Scrabble? I do have to say also the techniques that they use to try and kill or trap or
don't cross those range of things. And by the way, Richard, presumably no sign of Scrabble in the movie whatsoever.
Possibly not. You must tell me what the relevance of that is.
I will, Richard, or failing that, I'll leave it as a little treat, a golden nugget you can discover from the podcast. Ben, you've seen the trailer, Ghostbusters. Is it something you're going to be going to see? Because
I would, but in all honesty, I haven't seen the first one yet, so I think it's only
first
fair.
Two,
well, the first two, sorry.
And cartoon series.
Oh, right. Well, I've got a lot of catching up to do, haven't I? So, I would see it, but I think I'd have to... Probably best I watch the other ones beforehand to actually get the gist of the storyline.
Richard, a little bit of
news. Very much storyline.
No.
Charlie. Don't.
I'll just stick to the song then. The music. Yeah.
but apparently, Richard has contradicted Phil Leonis last night. Shock news this morning. Kate McKinnon can act, as opposed to Kate McKinnon cannot act.
Of course, it depends in the context of what she's doing in the material.
Of course.
With Ghostbusters. No, I don't agree with him, and I look forward to seeing McKinnon again, because there's something there's a feistiness about her. I mean, one looks at the other top stars in this movie, as I mentioned, Wiegand, obviously McCarthy, and I mean, I actually wanted to see her again. So this, you know, this is... If I start looking someone up and looking at what else...
Obviously, it's the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
But we need a better movie, yes.
Jane, having seen the movie trailer, will you be going to see Ghostbusters, the new version?
No.
There you go. We held that back because the movie I have been to see, I had to, first day out, July 22nd, after Blackwell to see the exhibition tomorrow, was, of course, the legendary work of Chris Pine, Carl Urban, Zachary Quinto, the late Anton Yelchin, Simon Pegg and others. We've got the theme in the background here. Richard, we'll let people think if they can identify and guess what we're going to talk about after we've heard 20 seconds of Michael Giacchino's theme. Ways, Jane, I think you should actually have this blasting through the loudspeakers when you launch the Lincolnshire show, just to kind of get even more stirring value for the Lincolnshire show.
Bear that in mind, Alan.
It's boldly going.
Alex,
it's okay, Jennifer. We're all right and on the same line. That's the important thing.
Got right letter, wrong name.
We'll go beyond that, and we'll save the world with the Beastie Boys, and save the galaxy with the Beastie Boys. No spoilers, but Richard, over to you. Did you go beyond Star Trek?
Well, I have to say that the main thing with this movie, and I see that most critics have liked it, and there's no doubt about it, Trekkies, I think, will love it.
Trekkers, please, Richard.
Homages, plenty of those, and I fear, with Leonard Nimoy, Roy, and also Anton Yelchin, who plays the navigator Pavel Chekhov. I feel tragedy. This is, of course, recognized in the movie. So there is that aspect of it, and there are the much-loved characters returning. There's also Idris Elba. There's a ruthless villain who is... Incidentally, have you got an Abernath with you in the studio? I just think people would all ask to know whether you have this
species. No, is the short answer. We would recognise them if they were.
Disintegrate human life.
Yes.
I mean, I have to say that it presses all the right buttons for fans who will love it. Chris Pine, as you mentioned, facing promotion, and indeed the captain of the USS Enterprise when it goes to the port in space of Yorktown and then is sent on a mission and is attacked, is ambushed, attacked by the forces of Krall, who was able to send hordes of fighters. Now, here is my dissent from the way the movie was done, because directed by Justin Lin, J.J. Abrams, one of the producers, a movie, as I say, that will press the right buttons, because we've got the Zachary Quinto, we've got Chris Pine, we've got Simon Pegg. We've also got a scavenger, Jayla, played by Sophia Boutella, who's absolutely bizarre as a character, I think. So he's all darn.
But she was in Kingsman, Richard. She was in Kingsman.
Yeah, Kingsman had certain virtues and also was a bit violent, I thought. But the facts are that I would fault the battle scenes in this movie, because the original ambush that we see when Krall's forces attack the Starship Enterprise, the facts are that so much of it is filmed in close-up. You'd no idea, at least I had no idea a lot of the time, who was doing what to whom. And no spoilers, but I will simply say that there is a certain slack. I've noticed this with a lot of sci-fi movies. You actually think, I always enjoy battle, and it's quite interesting to actually look for a little realism as well. You can't just chuck CGI at you, or you shouldn't at the viewer. And I'm afraid this movie does rather a lot of that. I don't want to launch into anything.
I don't think he liked it, guys. I don't think he liked it somehow.
Climactically, if you've got action scenes, too much is filmed from close up. Too many. I mean, Krall's army is comprised of CGI.
But it's Idris Elba. Idris Elba as Krull.
He's under so much makeup that...
could be James Bond.
He
could indeed be James Bond, but he won't get further, and if, assuming he's in the final heat, which is suspected. I mean, we've got Robert Harder, we've got...
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston is likely...
Taylor Swift.
It's like...
Female Bond, you know, Taylor Swift as James Bond. Bond.
Thanks for all that. As I say, this is a movie. It's colourful, it's widescreen. I saw it on the IMAX screen, which is vast. And, you know, the audience, I think, would enjoy it enormously. Simon Pegg, who co-wrote the script, can be a bit irritating from time to time. But don't let me attempt to put anyone who enjoys it off the 30.
I would give it 8.5, Richard. There, I've said my piece.
I would give it 7.5 for the fans. For myself, I'd give it half that.
Jane, Star Trek Beyond.
Yes.
Where do you sit on the warp factor fence?
It looks full action packed, doesn't it? I can probably see it being lots of people wanting to go and see it. So.
Oh, there would be. I mean, all the people love it. That's the main thing. It's also dedicated to. The two who alas are no longer with us, and also again, if you have a movie of this, a lot of pleasure, you know, that's great. But I did want to make some points about aspects of it,
and you have. But hopefully we've also addressed those. I mean, when you've got the Yorktown, you know, a whole city in space, a lovely
Yorktown
connection.
The Yorktown is an absolutely fantastic
creation.
I thought it was better, I have to say, handled in Star Wars. Where
please, we don't talk about that. It's another line in science.
well, yes, I mean, the thing is, it see these fantastic features. I mean, a lot of imagination.
Anyway, you've got a new Star Wars movie out in time for Christmas, which is a different area. Finally... Ben is off to do work for Sony Pictures. He can't say about which movie he's working on. It's a good one, Richard. I said say no more. But exciting stuff, Ben, for your
indeed,
next work placement.
Indeed, yeah. Something different completely. I've never done sort of PR in the film industry anyway.
Well done you. And it's a very competitive industry, so best of luck.
Thank you very much.
You might hook up with Richard Fitzwilliams, you know. You could actually say in the sort of the times actually this.
Yes, I'm in touch with Sony as they do distribution, as you know, and also I attend previews. So will you be based in, do you know where it's going to be? Will it be London?
Well, predominantly in Brighton, but I will be in London once a week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you never know, but certainly it's very good news.
And the power of the Midrick Drive-Ed bonding, that sort of, you know, it's like, it's the equivalent to like
networking.
The Freemasons of industry.
Yeah,
it's
networking.
Jane, you see, you will probably go and see Star Trek, aren't you? Unlikely. And Ben?
I'm a bit more of a Star Wars than a Star Trek.
Again, you see, and I have to say so am I, but there it is. I mean, it is a movie. You know, Zachary Quinto has, I don't know how many fans throughout the planet, and I mean, you've got colour.
And if you didn't shed a tear at one of the sequences where Star Trek VI, an image comes out of Star Trek VI with William Shatner and the original cast, Leonard Nimoy, DeForest Kelly, Walter Koenig and James Doohan, etc. And Heartless. Heartless, that's all I can say, Richard. Heartless. Maybe you didn't see it in 3D, that's all I can say.
I didn't see it in 3D, but I have to say that, you know, it is what it is, and it's a franchise that has enormous popularity, so I urge anyone who enjoys it to go and see it. I mean,
well,
no question about that.
There we have it. Ben, last night you were a relative newbie, having just clocked up 2.5 shows. You're now into nearly 3 shows, actually, if you add the little half that we're actually doing. Can you go with those last 2 questions, please, Ben?
Richard, have you had a relatively interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed.
And will you be returning?
I shall be. We've got, for example, Finding Dory to discuss, have we not?
Oh, yeah, it's a sequel to Finding Nemo. It's amazing. Although, will we actually remember about Finding Dory 5 seconds after we've seen it, despite the fact that scientists have now actually proven that actually goldfish don't have a 3-second memory, they can have a memory that lasts a lifetime.
Well.
Yeah.
No more catchphrasing then.
yes.
Here come the birds.
It's all in the voice.
Thank you. Supertramp, even in the quietest moments. Ocean Colour Scene.
Yes. Jane.
Ocean Colour Scene,
yes,
are going to be at the Lincolnshire Showground.
Along with Shed 7.
Along with Shed
and
7.
And Dodgy.
And Dodgy.
Yes.
Good enough. Oh, sorry.
And I know you won't know who they are. No, don't worry about it.
Slightly too young for this, I think.
This, you were talking about epic making musicians. Of an epoch-defining era here, which even Ian Lennox will actually say, well, you know, I thought I had sort of impressive sort of news to actually come through, but Ocean Colour Scene and Dodgy and Shed 7, Ian Lennox.
I know nothing about them except they haven't played any Cast United.
Very special guests, Shed 7, it has to be said. Very special guests, but we'll find out more about that in a few moments, because astoundingly, I mean, The Day We Caught the Train, Riverboat Song, You Got It Bad, Profit in Peace. These are classics of the whole world. I can't believe Ben has not encountered Ocean Colour Scene in but still, that's what he comes to university for, to be educated. It's important, though, musically as well as others. Ian, shock news from your good self, and news to the extent that it even merited me putting a little a line on a Facebook comment to actually say, well, thank heavens you've still got the podcasts and your weekly Thursday slots, because Ian Lennox is withdrawing from Facebook.
For the moment, yes.
To continue his work with his writing. I mean, this is just phenomenal. Was it a decision? Was it a decision that you made lightly, or was it something which you felt no?
I decided I still wanted to write another book in my advanced years.
And, well, we have been saying
the only way I was going to do it was to concentrate on it. And as I got heavily involved in the Brexit discussions and things on Facebook, and arguing with people all over the place. It just distracted me too much.
Just play Scrabble. That's my line. Just play
Scrabble. Yeah, probably right. Yes, at least increase my vocabulary.
Yeah. This started off this morning with our Hawaiian correspondent, and I think Scrabble will continue ever onwards from that point of view.
It's been going for years now, hasn't it?
It's our solution for world peace. How often do you find dictators go crazy because they've got a bad score on Scrabble? I mean, Jane, are you a Scrabble player? Have you?
In the past with the children, dabbled with Scrabble.
Very good.
I haven't played for 60 years, I don't think.
Well, that's... from your own perspective, Ben, do you think Ian's making the right decision here, coming off Facebook to actually dedicate...
I don't know if you quite remember when Stephen Fry logged out of his Twitter, didn't he?
Yeah.
And in his words, it was a free world, he felt. And when he didn't have social media, you feel free from it. So be interested to hear what your thoughts are once you've deleted it and whether you feel it's impacted.
I haven't deleted it. What I said was basically that I couldn't, it was taking too much time, and therefore I was stopping until I got at least 10,000 words into an MS.
Yeah. Manuscript, in case you're wondering.
Indeed.
Sorry.
It's technical writer's talk. It's understandable. Coming up to 16 minutes to 9 o'clock in the morning, why are you dropping an MS? You think, what? Isn't that something you can get cured for?
Yeah, sorry.
It's very good.
I was thinking of the medical term originally, and I was thinking, no, it can't be.
Yeah, no, it's all very good. Ian, musically speaking, before we actually progress from this, because clearly we've got the moment where we need to reveal Ollie and Ober. Have you seen Ollie and Ober, by the way, Jane? it's not a euphemism, don't worry.
The world's too much famous cats.
Yes.
Yes, exactly so. But Ben hasn't, so we will actually dig at that. But I feel that rather than giving you a chance to do a reprise of yesterday's Cameron Tilbury song, which, of course, was interesting in its own way, we should play some Ocean Colour Scene for you, Ian. As
right.
You claim never to have actually heard of them, I find this astounding. So, Jane, would you say the Riverboat Song or the day we caught the train?
Oh, the day we caught the train. I've got a choice. I've got to listen to it. So
okay.
There you go, then. A transport theme carries on. Never saw it as the start. It's more change of heart. Rapping on the windows, whistling down the chimney pot. Blowing up the dust in the room where I forgot. I laid my plans in solid rock. Stepping through the door like a troubadour, while I'm just an hour away. Looking at the trees on the roadside, feeling it's a holiday. Heard of that one then, Ben Lewis?
I have indeed.
The day we caught the train. Had you heard of it, Ian Lennox?
It sounded a bit like a Beatles song to me.
Yeah, I thought so. Which one. Yeah, no, it does.
The beginning, this, it was one of the psychedelic period, I think.
Very much sort of echoing that sort of things. But
yeah. I quite enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And Jane, clearly you would book them if you didn't actually know who the heck they were, effectively.
I would.
Are you a traffic warden?
Ian, you may well fantasise about seeing the Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society dressed as a traffic warden, but you've got to keep those fantasies to a different line entirely. You know?
I'll sit down and think about that.
Exactly. It's already been suggested that you might have been Scottish in the studio. I said, don't suggest that, Ben. Oh, sorry. I don't know. But are you related to Annie Lennox, Ian?
No.
No, we are.
I'm not. But funnily enough, I was filming in... in the south of France once, and we hired a car, and the people who, when I returned the car, the people who had to deal with me were most obsequious to me, and I couldn't understand why. Mm. And it turned out that Annie Lennox was filming in Nice, I think. Was appearing in Nice, or one of the resorts around there. And they, as I was leaving, she said, "Excuse me, monsieur, are you Annie Lennox's brother?"
And that's the one way to ensure that if you want to have an obsequious French person, make sure that you pretend to be Annie Lennox, or related to Annie Lennox.
Yeah.
Very good. Not suggesting that all French people are obsequious, but it's a great score for Scrabble if you can actually get it out from that point of view. Obsequious.
Running, spell it, yeah.
We were looking to new photos, Ian Lennox's photographs, of Ollie and Obo. And you see, Ian has actually dedicated this one to me.
Might be
a different Alex there, but he's got for Alex, dot, dot, dot. So
no, that was for you.
Ollie and Obo.
It was about a month ago, though, and I can't remember what the photograph was. Yeah. Not the cats, was it?
Time just shifts its own way. Ollie and Obo resting after a frenetic wall of death round the house.
Oh, yes.
You don't get that in Brighton, do you, Ben, really? It's cats doing the wall of death around the house.
Not really, no.
Well, it's when they start chasing each other around the house and they skid around the
Obo
wall.
Obo watching football?
Oh, yeah.
I like that cat now.
And indeed,
he fell asleep going to cricket.
displays basic ignorance when he chases disappearing players around the back of the telly. So actually, the cat is often prone when the player goes offline to actually run round the television set to find
the
player.
They go around the back of it. Where's he going? Yes. They watch it on the screen, and then when it goes off the screen, it goes on.
Well,
the
that's a sequel to Gogglebox.
There's a certain logic to it, isn't that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
when he chases the fly of the lament curtain.
Yeah. And, of course, the model of the lampshade. if you are wondering, look, this is all well and good, but it's a radio.
I'm beginning to worry about you. I actually seem obsessed with these cats. You're not going to catnap them, are you?
Oh, yeah, as if, you know, please. Although I regularly say, Jane, that it's high time Ollie and Obo made an appearance at the Lincolnshire Show, I think.
Yes.
They'd be chilled out in every sense of the word. Anyway, any questions for Ian?
I don't know. We've gone on the cat.
We've taken this cat thing.
The cat story so much as mine has gone.
It's been quite phenomenal. Actually, I was going to say, Ben, did you want to do a little name check for your jukebox owning father?
Oh,
Jukebox?
My dad does have a jukebox, yes.
Is it like a Wurlitzer thing?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Really?
I think it's the Wurlitzer 2000, I believe. It's.
Wow. Did he still dance to it?
Yeah, yeah. He puts the his 7 inches on there, and then at Christmas as well. Puts on the
How many records has he got then?
Oh, blimey. I'm not too sure off the top of my head. I'll have to ask him. But yeah, he's got a massive record collection anyway. He does collect a lot of vinyl, so.
Are they all the old 50s songs and Bill Haley's?
Oh, he's got loads. Honestly, it's an infinite collection.
How did he get it? My
parents had it years. I mean, a few years before. Few years before I was born. But they
but
do keep it.
Thousands now, you know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But they're planning on keeping
it.
How
do you think they're affording Ben's university education, for goodness sakes?
No, they did say that it's something for me and my brothers to argue about should they pop off any time.
Well, hopefully not for a long, long time yet. But parents are very difficult to bring into the world. So.
I wonder if you can get replacement records on them now. I wouldn't have thought so.
I'm not too sure.
Are they just the 78 that you just put in? And
yeah, well, he puts even ones from now times. He puts plenty of updated records in, but... it's mainly stuff that he kind of likes, really, and then at Christmas, the standard Christmas songs, and put on the fire, sit there, and
can he make a playlist out of them? Then just sort of sit back.
He can put coins in, but they don't really need the coins, so
right.
you just type in on the keypad what you want, and, right. and it'll pick it.
Talk about coins and machines. Do you remember the fruit machine days and the 60s and 70s, when all the clubs had fruit machines.
James, do you remember those days, or were you far too young?
I know fruit machines.
Well, I did a documentary once with a chap who, he was a bit of a naughty chap when he was younger, and he worked with these gangs who were doing the fruit machines,
mm-hmm.
and they used to provide them to the social clubs around the region, and this guy discovered that there were so many tanners, sixpences going into these fruit machines that they spread over the main bank. You know, there's sort of a cavity where the sixpences went in, but there's so many going in and they were spilling over into the actual main frame. So what they did was they used to replace the things every two or three months and empty the machines of all the sixpences. And he said it used to take about two guys to carry the new one in and about seven to carry it out, the old one out, because they were full of sixpences.
Do you know, I mean, for a moment I thought, where are we going with this?
No, you're all right, I know the 9 o'clock special, darling.
When all else fails, and we've tired of looking at photographs of cats sticking their heads in cups of tea, I know that all is well with the world. I mean, that actually could be seen as a most unusual frame and photograph, couldn't it, Jane?
It could, yes.
What? People carrying fruit machines?
Yeah, no, cats sticking its head into a cup of tea.
Yeah.
You're listening to Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, the only radio station that actually deals with Facebook on air. I'm kidding from that point of view. Ian.
Yes.
Jane is going to put those last two questions to you now.
All right.
I do it my way, by the way. Have you enjoyed talking to us today?
I have indeed.
And can we look forward to talking to you again soon?
I do hope so.
Okay, thank you.
Ian, were we good enough for you?
What do you mean by that?
Well, nothing dodgy.